what I want to do today really is just go across the roadmap that we've developed a little bit, and then talk about what Sarah's doing around space, and then talk about how we're trying to work with industry. I think we're in both all three fields, because when the agency was set up, Sarah committed to helping it work, and we seconded people in, and we kept things going with them. But we also put some money into a high-level roadmap to see what opportunities Australia may have in the future and how they sit with our own capability. How it sits with the I in CSIRO, because I think everybody knows CSIRO is about science and research, but the I is about industry, and we have to do things that are supportive of industry, and we try and do that in all sorts of ways. And space gives us a new opportunity to do that, because of the range of skills we have on board within CSIRO. We're 5,500 scientists and technologists across a whole range of industries, from mineral exploration, agriculture, environment, oceans. I can't remember all of the business units off the top of my head, plus the new one, which is Data 61, which we set up after I came with Big Analytics Group. So we've got a whole range of skills and capabilities in CSIRO. We need to deploy those into the space world. That's just a slide about where we're supposed to be going. But the roadmap itself, we did this in the period between the announcement of the agency and the launch of the agency. It was put up last year. And basically we looked at what are the opportunities for CSIRO, where is it going, how do we do it? And we put it into three streams. The downstream space services, we used to call that value added, which is why you make money out of space in many ways. Real money out of space. When I ran the UK Space Agency, and you may see they've just done another report on the health and growth of the UK space business, something like 85% of all the business came downstream. The hardware side, the space side, was about 15% of the business value. Very important part of the business value. Without it, you don't do the downstream, but with it, you can do the downstream. There's a lot about space tracking, which I'll say nothing more about, because I think we've heard a good talk on that and everybody knows where we are in Australia. And then where we could go on the upstream technologies and power and propulsion, and we'll talk a little bit about that, robotics and automation, autonomous systems and AI and habitat. And the last one there is really around the fact that if you're going to have ambition, you need big ambition. And I think for those who read the roadmap, and I think hard copies are available, and we can always drag one off the website of CSIRO. The biggest ambition we put in there was to be part of the Lunar Base program and build on Australia's skills in dry farming, remote mining, drilling, the whole area of the gambit of and biomedicine, where we have a lot of skills that we can deploy into the field, including 3D printing. Then we dug a little bit deeper into the business and looked at what are the opportunity themes, things you could do more or less straight away. You know, onboard processing, we're talking with companies about how the data analytics group in CSIRO, and that's, for those who don't know, is about 600 staff and about 400 postdocs at any one time, all focused on data analytics of one sort or another, how we can help people do things like that. The 5+ years open data platforms for all Earth observation. The space object tracking, where, again, I won't go into it, but I think the areas we picked up. And space exploration, which is miniaturized spacecraft, moon orbiters, Mars, sustainable habitats. And the underlying enablers that you need to make those work. And they're ideas, they're not things that we're all doing everything in, but they're just ideas for Australia and the space agency to work with, take forward into the debate, and talk about how they may do them in the future. My screen keeps going blank in front of me, so apologies if I keep turning around. So really, it's a roadmap at a high level. What are the opportunities? What are the directions of travel in space? What are the opportunities that exist? I think if we were going to do the next phase, we'd do some much more detailed, a much more detailed one of what are the opportunities, the niche opportunities for Australia in those fields. And for those who know history, about that time, and I was in the UK, Australia built part of an instrument, the long track scanning radiometer, for the first and second European remote sensing satellite. And at that time, it was a priority, and we look at it in 2018, it's the same priority. The words are the same, everything's the same. We've just moved on 30 years, and we need to keep working at it. So, you know, the slide about what we do, we've got a small group looking after it. We've got the big data analytics. We're talking about onboard processing, smart processing, how you can reduce the data you send down to the Earth, because particularly with small satellite, power is a problem. How can we work with industry to do that? We've come about tracking, tasking and operations, and last year we spent several million dollars buying a share of a Novosar, which is a small radar satellite. We're not sure if it will work. It's got many modes: ocean surveillance, land surveillance, high resolution, low resolution. But what we did buy was command and control of the satellite for 10% of its operations. And the reason that's important, it allows you to do controlled experimentation when you want and where you want. So we've got this control of this satellite. It's just come on stream. It's going to be a national asset, so everybody can apply to look at it and use it. But it's just, will it work? We don't know. It's a novel bandwidth. It's a novel satellite. Whether it can do everything they claim is open to debate. But we've got 3 or 4 years to work it out, because if it does work, it is very cheap relative to the big radars of today and fills a different niche in the world. We operate across Australia CalVAL sites. We have land-based calibration validation sites. We have water-based calibration validation sites that everybody's allowed to use. We had an interesting recent incident where we were doing something for a country, and the locals rang up and complained that somebody was putting out big black and white stripes on the land. So we were actually physically putting out 200-metre-long, 10, 20-metre-wide black and then white stripes and then coloured ones to really calibrate the satellite as it went over. And that, again, is available for everybody, and certainly for the Northern Hemisphere is quite a useful tool, because it's the only Southern Hemisphere CalVAL set of sites that are available. We're doing a lot on sensor development, and this sounds odd, but we have in our manufacturing group a group that do a lot of sensor development, high-end sensor development, none of it for space, but all relevant to space as we go forward. Low power, very discrete bandwidths, very particular applications. And that we're working on that now with our moving to CubeSats. With the CubeSats, we just buy a bus and do the smarts, and that's where we're going. This year we had our future science platform. My machine's timed out as always. Our future science platform, which is a program over 4 years, it's about $6 million a year that we've funded within CSIRO. And it's about what are the novel bits of science we need to do to improve our ability to use satellite data. So it really is focused on what do we need to do, how do we do it, where are we going to go with it. So I think you know, that was new money within CSIRO. It's particularly, it is for CSIRO people, but we intend that they work with outside bodies to make it work, but it's a very specific injection. And we've got agreements with the European Space Agency. I signed the agreement, so they give access to all their Earth observation and space science satellite data free of charge for as long as we agree. At the same time, Geoscience Australia, I'm not sure if they're in the room, they signed a similar agreement with the European Union to get all access to the European Union system known as Copernicus. So I think between us, we've sort of obtained access to large sets of satellite data for Australian use, and we're both working together on the Digital Earth, or CubeSat, as we used to call it, in the days when I was involved, but CSIRO's involved in the developments around that issue.